It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. And it seems like we're in the midst of a great turning, doesn't it? It is hard sometimes when you're in the middle of something to be able to actually see it happening. Those in the Industrial Revolution, for example, likely didn't know they were amidst a great turning. But with all that's been changing and disintegrating and rearranging during the last 7 years or so, we do indeed seem to be in the midst of a period of dramatic, ongoing transformation. And if there's anything that the last 3 years of COVID have shown us, is that life is no longer predictable in the way it was before, right? Huge change is afoot on all levels of society, from our climate to the world's financial, industrial, and political systems, to our health, our education systems, and the well-being of human beings and animals. So much of what we're facing, from climate disaster to the abolition of reproductive rights, to pandemics, to election denial, bigotry, war, and violence, looks like complete chaos and destruction, doesn't it? And when so much seems uncertain, and the forces of destruction and chaos seem so powerful, it can be hard to feel like we're in the midst of a great turning. It can be difficult to find hope that we're going to make it through. And it can be challenging to trust that love will win in the end. But my friends, we're still here. Humanity and our planet are still here, so we mustn't give up hope that we can yet have a course correction. And this week we learned that we can change the world with love, right? We learned that leading with love does make a difference, that no matter how many forces seek to destroy life as we know it, there are more of us who believe in the power of love. Can I hear an amen? Love that vanquishes hate. Love that overcomes fear. Love that provides sanity in the face of disinformation and cruelty. Love that cares about democracy. Love that grows hope. Love that believes in the inherent worth and dignity of all. And love that resides at the core of our beings and wants to be expressed. A love that holds us all. The TED speaker Heather Warman shares, for a seed to achieve the greatest expression, it must come completely undone. The shell cracks, its insides come out, and everything changes. And to someone who doesn't understand growth, it would look like complete destruction. And sometimes it does look like we're careening down an endlessly negative trajectory to complete destruction. And it's hard for us to see that the commitment to our UU values of compassion and justice, equity, growth, and diversity are making a difference. And my friends, never forget that small changes and persistence can bring about massive shifts if we don't give up. If we keep at it, no matter what, if we stay committed to siding with love, no matter what happens. And that's why we have this community, to remind ourselves and one another each week, and to trust that love can change this world, right? Just a few weeks ago, many of you will remember that NASA sent a small spacecraft to divert the course of an asteroid out in space. And the spacecraft called DART, which stands for Double Asteroid Redirection Test, which the scientists among us will know, I'm sure, carved a crater into the asteroid, Dimorphos, and changed its orbit forever. It was circling around a larger asteroid called Didymus. And the nudge by the spacecraft changed Dimorphos' orbit around Didymus in perpetuity by around 32 minutes. And NASA's success with this tiny asteroid course correction could help save our planet one day in the future. But it also reminds us that well-targeted, seemingly small course correction can bring about major shifts in our planetary well-being, right? So we must never give up redirecting the course of our planet with love, hope, and peace, right? Even when it seems futile or incredibly hard, as it does often, we must keep the faith that goodness and justice can ultimately change the trajectory of our earthling. Thank you. As our forefather Theodore Parker famously said, the arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And at times we may not see that arc bending. I was standing underneath a rainbow earlier this week after our rain, and we could only see the beginning of the arc. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the rainbow appeared and we could see the rest of it. So at times we can't see that whole arc. We may have to imagine that it will bring about a more just and beautiful world. But every little thing that we do to advance love, equity, and kindness on this earth creates ripples that grow. And our UU, the Vote team, did just that over these past few months and years. Raise your hands again, all of you who were involved. You all got out the vote by writing thousands of postcards, sending many more thousands of texts, and making phone calls. And they're going to continue doing that as long as is necessary. In fact, you can get some more postcards for the Georgia runoff in Fellowship Hall later. And it clearly made a difference. Sorry? Tuesday, not today, but on Tuesday they'll be here. And next week, I'm sure they'll be here. It clearly made a difference, didn't it? And all the justice work that you do advocating for love, whether it's standing on street corners or speaking at city council meetings or partnering with local grassroots organizations or insisting that everyone be treated with dignity and worth, it does make a difference, my friend, even if we sometimes can't see it making a difference, even if the naysayers' voices are sometimes louder. Leon Vanderpoel, a transformational coach, talks about what it takes to experience soul deep transformation in his book, A Shift in Being. And he likens personal and societal transformation to the stages of metamorphosis. And I invite you to look at our installation on change hanging on our sanctuary walls, if you can, as I share this story with you, because you might notice that last week we had caterpillars and this week we have some cocoons hanging there. And if you want to see what happens next week, you're just going to have to come. He writes, metamorphosis for a caterpillar is a process of death and emergence, not morphing. Wrapped in its cocoon, its body decays and disintegrate into a blob of primordial goo, a nutrient-rich stew of death cells mixed with some bits and pieces of caterpillar's innards. Then one day something remarkable happens. Doesn't sound so good, does it? But something remarkable happens. In the midst of the puddle of decaying ooze, a new bell pops up. Ping! And these cells have been called imaginal cells because they are imagining what is possible. And the immune system of the dying caterpillar taking the imaginal cell to be some sort of enemy form attacks it and kills it. And then another imaginal cell pops up, ping. And the immune system again trounces it. And soon a number of imaginal cells pop up, ping, ping, ping. And the immune system, although it's beginning to fail from the stress of death, continues its death cry, continues to fight. But in time, the imaginal cells pop up faster and faster and in greater numbers than the fading immune system can kill them off. And then because the imaginal cells are encoded with the program to create a butterfly, they start joining together to form cell clusters, clusters of wing cells, antenna cells, digestive tract cells, and others take form. And the cell clusters eventually join together, and the transformation is complete. And the butterfly emerges as an altogether new entity. My friends, I believe we as a society are in the midst of such a transformation. And though we may be in the primordial goo of the chrysalis at this time, more and more imaginal cells are being born. Can't you see them? The old form is desperately clamoring to survive, to kill off our imaginal cells. But the more we focus on hope, on love, on joy and peace, holding them as our imaginal cells, as our vision, the more we develop into the beautiful butterfly in our cocoon. And this cocoon phase is part of the great turning that we're in, the transformation that we are undergoing as a society. And our role as spiritually courageous people is to keep drinking from the well of love, peace, joy, and hope. And bringing that to our world so that all may thrive. Our role as spiritually courageous people is to keep learning to lead with love. Are you game? Really? Okay. Those online, raise your thumbs. Good. Because small changes can make massive shifts. Historian and playwright Howard Zinn writes, an optimist isn't necessarily a blithe, slightly sappy whistler in the dark of our time. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. And if we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us energy to act. And at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. One of the ways that we can send this spinning top of a world in a different direction is to get engaged with the larger work of our faith. Not only with all of our justice activities that are part of our Side with Love movement, but also get involved with the work of the Article 2 Study Commission, which they are doing on re-articulating our 7 UU principles right now. And if you haven't been following this, the UUA has asked the study commission to do research and brainstorm about how our 7 UU principles might be reimagined to best reflect the needs of this time. And the team has been listening and talking with congregations and UUs around the country for the last year and a half, and have now come up with a preliminary draft of their work. And it begins with, love is the enduring force that holds us together. They have centered love in all that we do, which I think is pretty exciting. And the study commission is offering Zoom feedback sessions and surveys if you'd like to share your thoughts. So go online, you can see the link to that in our news and notes, and put your opinion about what they've created. You can read their initial draft. And similarly to how we articulated our values here at Chalice, they have articulated Unitarian Universalist values and the commitments that they call us to engage. And they're going to be presenting their draft to the UUA board in January 2023, after which there are going to be more opportunities to revision. And then they're going to hold a preliminary vote on whether to continue in this direction at General Assembly in June 2023. And if you've never been to General Assembly, this is the year to go. And you can go in person to Pittsburgh, or you can join us online. And I really encourage as many of you as possible to have the voice, to bring the voice of our congregation to this important reshaping, reimagining of our faith. I urge you to get involved, and you can be apprised of this important work for the future of our faith, and have your say in how to share our message of love in action. And I also invite you to attend our site visioning meeting after our service today, and I hope all of you here will stay for that. Due to our sanctuary lease expiring in June 2024, so we still have another year and a half, don't get too worried. But we have an opportunity to reflect on our Chalice mission in the world and to see how we can best serve the mission with our choice of location. Where and how can we be most effective to plant seeds of love in this world? How can we best serve love and this great turning that our society is undergoing? So please join us for this important discussion, both online and in person, after service. Grab a cup of tea, coffee, come back to help envision our congregation's future for maximum impact to spread justice and compassion. Buddhist teacher and wise elder Pema Chodron says, let difficulty transform you, and it will. He says, in my experience, we just need help learning how not to run away. So I invite us to keep staying in the difficult conversation, whether it's conversations about our nation's future, our planet's well-being, or conversations about our faith vision, or our congregational home. Don't run away or shut down. Instead, let difficulty transform you into wiser, more thoughtful, more resilient, and loving being. In closing, I want to share with you about a wonderful new book called The New Possible, Visions of Our World Beyond Crisis. It's edited by Philip Clayton and has contributions from many wise teachers, thinkers, and youth leaders from around the world. And they share their perspective on the future of our civilization. And they discuss everything from envisioning a new ecologically based civilization to choosing peace and love even when it's hard. Buddhist teacher and psychologist, my mentor in my meditation teacher training, Jack Kornfield, writes an essay in this book called Open Hearts, Open Minds, and Love. And he says, it is time to be the medicine, the uplifting music, the lamp in the darkness. Act. Burst out with love. Be a carrier of hope. If there's a funeral, send them off with a song. Trust your dignity and goodness. Where others hoard, help. Where others deceive, stand up for truth. Where others are overwhelmed or uncaring, be kind and respectful. We know that in the end, we can work for the good. We can let go of our fears, and we realize that although we may not be able to perfect our world, we can continue the work of perfecting our love. The world needs it. We can hear sirens outside the sanctuary right now. But that's what I think we're doing. We're working on perfecting our love right here in this community. It's easy to love when times are good, isn't it? But it's so much harder to love through the difficult time. And that's our spiritual challenge. The book's last chapter, called A Species in Terminal Crisis, is written by the business systems analyst, professor, and activist David Corton. And he paints a picture of what we must do with our economics, our life choices, and the planet for a viable human future. He writes, far from being a call to sacrifice, these challenging times call us to actualize the potential of our human nature and our deep inclination to love and to care for one another and the earth. So, my beloved, I call on us to keep perfecting our work of love. May love guide us each and every day, and may you take heart that love will win the day, and that you can change the world with your love. May it be so. Amen.